dressed fine, threw the bums a dime in your prime, didn't you? People called, say beware, doll, you're bound to fold. You thought they were all just kidding you.
All right, folks, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, in the studio with my good calling friend and sub-hosts at times, Eric Jones, and phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. If you want to jump into the mix with a question or a comment, feel free to do so. Eric, you were talking about Rehnquist. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah, you made me think of the comments by William Rehnquist. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Witches Court, and he made the obscene statement. I don't have the exact quote right in front of me here. It'll take me forever to dig it up. But something to the effect of innocence is no grounds for overturning a verdict. It is no reason to release somebody from prison who's found to be innocent. As long as the court procedure was followed correctly and properly, leave the innocent person locked up. How insane is that?
That's outrageous. And the people that have been arrested, you know, Susan Lindauer and also, what was his, Padilla, that was arrested. Susan was the second person arrested over the Patriot Act, or using the Patriot Act. But Guantanamo Bay is filled with these guys that, you know, there's no reason to even keep them there. But they're there because they won't let them go. If they let them go, they're going to talk, and they're probably going to go back to where they were, you know, from and be insurgents anyway. That's why they keep them locked up.
Right, at the lower levels, I agree with that. That's part of the plan at the ground level. But at the higher level, it's an experiment to see what the American people are going to put up with as far as torture. This is why I was really disturbed when Trump, early in the race, started saying, yeah, we're going to have torture them all. Let's just get them all the bad. Or who's going to decide who's bad and who needs to be tortured? It's insane. And it doesn't. On top of that, it doesn't work. So, and not only being morally wrong, and as soon as you do that, you lose the moral high ground, and then you start losing battles for real.
Well, how many truthful testimonies or how many truthful confessions are you going to get out of somebody that's being waterboarded or electrified with their testicles? Come on, seriously.
No, it's insane. It's insane, and it creates a disgusting society they wouldn't want to be any part of. And once again, you lose that moral high ground. Forget it. You're going to lose the battle in the long run. Everybody knows it. Ultimately, in the end, good wins over evil, and one way or another, you know, the evil gets crushed. Now, I would also make the case that there's an underlying evil that's pervasive and keeps reoccurring and reestablishing itself, like it's doing in our government and in our banking system and in our military. We can see it all, and it's, you know, whatever name you put on it, the deep state, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it. I think the Freemasons are the oldest and most pervasive and most dangerous cult that's in deep control of the highest levels, and the Jesuit Freemasons are basically the highest intelligence managing the CIA and the Mossad at the behest of the Vatican Bank and the Bank of England and the royal families and their whole major majority interest in all the multinational corporations and all their little foot soldiers like Hillary and Podesta and George Bush and everybody run down the list. So, but, you know, it's good that we look at the whole pyramid, not just the lower part or just the upper part.
Well,
equally to blame is the order giver and the order taker. And I would argue that the executioner, the foot soldier, the person on the street doing the dirty deeds is actually the more to blame. Not off the hook. It's not the, you know, it's not, you can tell somebody to do anything, but it's their fault if they do it. So that's why I hold the low level guys most accountable. And that's why Germany went so far into the atrocities, was because the low-level foot soldier just kept doing what they're told.
Well, I want to interject something here, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Eric, because if you recall, I made a prediction shortly after I went on the air when being brought up to speed on the Tom Lacovara thing, that ultimately what they would do, they would drag this out until, if he didn't waive his right to a speedy trial, they would ultimately dismiss the charges like they did with Susan Lindauer. Evidently, that didn't happen. What has happened here is that they have evidently worn him down. they have treated him like they've treated the Bundys, like they treated Chris. You know, they wear you down. They put psychological thoughts in your brain, like, you know, your wife's not being true to you, and certain things that they do to just mentally destroy you. And ultimately what it comes down to is consent or non-consent. And it looks like with Tom LaCavera, he has ultimately waived the right to a speedy trial because the 6 months has come and gone. And now they have changed the status hearing. That is off the books. And they came up with what is called a change of plea hearing. And then when I called the court last week, they had set a trial date for a change of plea trial. I believe it was 5 days after the change of plea hearing, which is on the, if I recall, the 6th of July. So then I went back in the afternoon and I looked at the trial schedule, and that trial is off the table. So it looks like Tom LaCavera has made a deal. He has pled out. They have worn him down. And I don't know what kind of a deal it is, and I could be wrong, but this is the way it plays out. It could be that they said, look, we'll you know, you can plead guilty to a lesser charge, maybe a misdemeanor of being close to a firearm. We'll give you a year in jail.
Once again, he's under supreme torture right now, being locked in a cage 23 out of 24 hours. I remember he was in solitary every day. He was starting to almost lose it, you know, mentally, and I can understand why with that isolation. It wouldn't do that to an animal. I would say to him, I would not hold that against him. If he did take a plea, and when he gets out, he can do a declaration of retraction and say I was under duress and emotional distress and torture, which...
Did we lose him? Yep, we just lost him. See if you can get him back on the air, Mike. Caught him right after he said being tortured, I believe. Anyway, hold on. We're going to try to get him back on the air. But, yes, it all boils down to consent. And I had mentioned, folks, that, you know, I don't fault a man either. If he has taken a plea, if you, you know, put yourself in that position, and he's been in solitary confinement most of this time for about, oh, gosh, it's, what, 7 months now. Okay, and the psychological torture that goes along with that, the isolation that goes along with that, and if they come and they, you know, make an offer and say, hey, you know what, we're going to give you 1 year in jail, but it's going to be time served, and we'll let you go, but you have to plead guilty, then, you know, who could fault him for doing that? We've got him back, Mike? Okay, Eric, you're back?
I'm back.
We lost
yeah.
you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, I wouldn't fault him for doing that either. He's being tortured in the most extreme way. He doesn't know he could be, he's starting to think, I'm sure he's going to be in there forever, and... So I would just do a declaration of retraction when I got out and just retract your plea and retract the statements that you made. You were under duress, you were under emotional distress and being tortured at the time. And, you know, you were forced to sign that basically and out of sound mind and under no pressure. You know,
let me interject this. The procedure of the court, and you just mentioned something very pertinent. You're forced to do this, but what the way their procedure goes is they have this big to-do, this dog and pony show, where the judge gets up and says, well, now you understand this, and you're doing this of your own volition, and we haven't done anything to do this, and he has to say yes, 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 and then they go ahead and take his plea, so they're covering their own hind ends here. Okay.
I would fall in the same category. I would just retract the whole thing after it. I was being forced to make these statements under torture, which he is. He's going to say yes to sign, say it. I wouldn't hold it against him. You know, so either way he wants to go. He wants to hold the ground and say, screw it. I'm not, his change of plea might be not maybe retracting a plea and maybe going through with the trial, but you wouldn't think that by what they did pulling the record from the books of his upcoming trial. So that does seem to indicate that he's taken a plea, but I hate to assume anything. But if he did, I wouldn't hold it against him either.
Well, I'm not saying he did, but it looks as far as the court. I talked to the court clerk last week, and it looks like that is what's happened because they changed the status hearing to a change of plea hearing, which tells me they don't do that. And I looked it up; they don't do that unless indeed they've made a deal. They've made a deal with the prosecutor, so it's not. I'm 99% sure that he's done that.
He can retract that statement later. Anything can be returned after 3 days. Legally, this is an extreme case, and he is being tortured by being held in solitary confinement. That's against the international laws of incarceration and treatment of war prisoners. So, you know, I would tell him, do what you got to do to get out, and we can always retract anything you were forced to sign or say later.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to help him. Right
okay,
now.
I'll tell you what, we got
to fight out that battle.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Fred in Iowa. Fred, you're on with Michael and Eric. Go ahead, Fred. How are you doing?
Great, short blast, you've got a great guy in Eric Jones for a co-host or host of your show.
Thank you.
Great. Hey, thank you. Goodbye. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Fred.
Fred.
How you been?
Well, there you go. There's a feather in your cap, Eric. No, you know, Fred's a regular caller. He's a good guy. And
yes, I remember Fred. Absolutely. How you been, Fred?
No, he's gone. He's gone. He just chimed in and said, you know, congratulations, Eric, and you're a good guy, and hung up.
Yeah, Fred's awesome. Fred is short and sweet, man. Fred in Iowa, maybe?
Yeah, he's in Iowa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ultimately, the bottom line, and this is what's sad, and this is what we have come to, and I go back to, you know, being declared enemy of the state in 1933. We are the enemy of the state. Okay. Henceforth, this is why when you contract with the government, you have to get a license to do nails. You have to get a license to do hair. You have to get a license to do anything. Well, under the Constitution, you don't need a license. You have the privilege of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, i.e. property. They've changed that all around now. And in 1933, when the banking system came and said, hey, you know, you're out of collateral, what are you going to do? Well, we pledge the labor of our citizenry to you. And that's when they developed the birth certificate. Okay,
yeah,
that's when they put the
QSIP
number on
it,
right? And that's when that's when we became chattel, and they own us. Okay, so you know, I think the key to this again is consent, but it's also the awakening of the American public to the point where they realize that we've all been led down this path, and once the tipping point is reached, when the people wake up to this, then there's no more control because there's no more consent. So let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Ray in Cape Junction, Oregon. Ray, you're on with Michael and Eric. How you doing? Ray in Cape Junction, Oregon. Okay, I'm not getting Ray in Cape Junction, Oregon. No? I can't hear you. All right. He's not there? Okay. Let him go. Ray in Cape Junction, you can call back if you like. I don't know, there was some interference or something going on there. Anyway, all right, go ahead, continue, Eric. Where were you?
Oh, I heard music. I didn't show up.
That's what I thought. I didn't hear anybody talking. I just heard some music in the background.
I thought we were going to a break. But it's scary. It was good to see that this whatever absurd idea of taking the one communist health care plan and replacing it with another communist health care plan, but because it had a Republican star next to it, I guess it was communist health care plan, okay. It was good to see that crash and burn, because one of the scariest, and I was making this point kind of in some of the last few shows I did on Resurrect the Republic, which was the tyranny of the medical is the worst of all the tyrannies. And that's what was basically used against Chris. He was locked up as an incompetent psychiatric defective. I don't know what they're. I still haven't seen a judicial ruling that tries to explain what's wrong with Chris. There's all this nebulous just garbage that's coming through the judicial system, and they're using the medical establishment and in particular the psychiatric field to incarcerate patriots all over the country. It's really scary. And like in Lou Jasikoff's case in Pennsylvania, the elderly gentleman, it's just property theft. They took his house, they took his car, they took his retirement fund, they took his stocks and all his investments, all his personal belongings.
Well, now this had to be, correct me if I'm wrong, but with my knowledge of conservatorships, this had to have been ruled by a probate judge. Okay, and what happens is they appoint a conservator, the conservator takes over the state and basically
And guess who the conservator is in Rochester, New York, in upstate New York? They call it the public administrator. Guess who the private law firm is where the surrogate judge appoints all the estates and all the property over? Gallo and Yuck Evangelo, where himself Judge Calvaruso, the man who's doing the appointing in the from the court bench in the witch's robe, Judge Calvaruso is a senior partner. And Gallo and Yuck Evangelo, the law firm that he's appointing all this property to. And he's listed on their letterhead, right out in public. He's appointing estates and using the court to his old law firm, lining his pocket directly from the Fed. She's not even laundering the money or attempting any kind of loop-de-loop.
And if people out there, Eric, if people out there don't realize it, not only is this going on, but it's been going on for a long time. The retirement nightmare. I can't remember who wrote the book right now, but she cites over 200 cases of this happening. And some of these people, I remember during the case of the Hannays, where, I'm not going to go into all the details of it, but there was a fellow by the name of Edward Abbott Ravenscroft, who was the sole heir to the Abbott Laboratories fortune, which was several billion dollars. This guy was, a silver spoon guy that was always getting in trouble. He was driving a brand new Mercedes Benz. He had all the money he could use in a lifetime, but he used to get picked up for, drugs or whatever. And he winds up in jail. And the law firm of Toit, comes into the jail. What they do is they go through the jail records and they see if they can find anybody of any worth. And they coerced him by putting money on his books to have him sign this guardianship paper, and they signed it and they took over his estate. This is what they do. This was Sun Valley Fiduciary Group that did that, and ultimately I got him run out of town. Anyway, we've got Ray in Cape Junction, Oregon back. Ray, you're on with Michael and Eric. Go ahead. What's on your mind, buddy?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, sir. Go ahead.
Boy, I've been having a hell of a time. I've got a short, you're familiar with my situation. I walked away from the courts in refusing to accept their sentencing for 40 years in prison. And I adhere to my status as a living, breathing, flesh and blood man. And the courts have no jurisdiction over me. They cut me loose with no charges over my head. I have a video now that I just put up today. It's called "When Man Fell from Grace into the Abyss of Hell." He fell on his head and hasn't been the same since. Let me give you the link. This would be of most importance to all of your listeners.
Why don't you do me a favor, Ray? You've got my email address. Email it to me and let me take a look at it. Okay.
Well, you have you're on my list, and so you'll get it on your list. But let me give you the link. It's an email link, and it's vimeo.com, and it's https://, Vimeo, vimeo.com/ 2235231 86. It's a 20-minute video, and it will answer all the problems that you're talking about tonight, and it'll answer all the problems that America's having with its court system.
Okay.
So,
all right. I wrote it down. So it's https://vimeo.com/ 2235231 86. I got it.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Yeah, okay. I'll take a look at that when I get some time. I haven't got a lot of time these days, but I'll take a look at it anyway. Anyway, back to where you were. Go ahead.
Where was I?
Well, there's so much stuff going on here. I mean, literally we're getting bombarded. And what's the frustrating part about this is the American public, the working public that sits down and watches the mainstream news, that hears nothing about this kind of stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And the only thing they do hear is something that is spun in the government's favor. For example, Lavoie Pennicum was gunned down by the feds. Gunned down. He was assassinated by the feds. Yet what we see going on in the courts now is they're trying to stack the deck and make it look like the Bundys are the ones that were the aggressors, which the Bundys never pointed a handgun at anybody, never pointed a rifle at anybody, never did anything to anybody. And the feds were actually joking about them, And then they turn it around and the feds come parading in there as witnesses talking about, oh my God, I was in fear for my life when I saw videos of these feds laughing at these people. It's just outrageous. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm glad you used that word. It was not a killing. It was not a murder. It was an assassination. That was a setup.
Yes, they did not want him appearing. He was going to a meeting with the sheriff, I believe. They did not want him to go there.
Hundreds of people from that area who were sick and tired of federal goons coming out of their 10-mile toilet of Washington, D.C., which is the only place they're supposed to have jurisdiction,
mm-hmm.
And coming out there and telling people what they're going to do with their private property.
Right.
But of course, they've been told that since the bankruptcy of 33, and you know, of course, you could make the case before that, that the property in the United States has all been transferred back to the state, and they think it's theirs now. They really do think it's theirs. It's just they're sick in the head.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We got to go to a break, Eric. We got Alan in Nevada. Alan, I'm going to pull you up right after the break. Stick around. More to come. See you in three.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, broadcasting from the studios of Round Rock, Texas, with my guest, well, sort of host here, Eric Jones. And let's go right to Alan, Nevada. Alan, you're on with Michael and Eric. What's on your mind, buddy?
Yes, I think I heard you ask a question. How did the universities get the way they are? Was that a rhetorical question, or would you like an answer?
I never posed the question, but I'll take the answer. No, I think.
Well, I heard you say, you know, how crazy the universities have gotten.
Well, the whole scholastic system has gotten, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, does the, what's the name of it? Oh, yes, the Frankfurt School. Does that ring a bell?
I've heard of it. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, here's probably a subject for another show. If you were to go to The Origins of Political Correctness by Bill Lind, That'll give you plenty of meat for another show.
Okay. The Origins of Political Correctness, Bill Lind.
By Bill Lind.
All right.
L-I-N-D.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
I'd be interested in hearing it.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate the call. The Origins of Political Correctness. All right. Gives me more work to do, Eric. So, all right. Closing out here.
You need it.
Yeah. All right. What else is on the plate here before I get into some news here? Anything else we got to discuss, you think?
No, you can get right to the news. You know, I got so much stuff I could say. I'd be taking us in probably off on a tangent. But, yeah, I think it's important to remember that the tyranny of the medical is far worse than...
Well, I mean, yes, that's a completely different topic that we can go into. And here we've got Obamacare. It's being overseen by the IRS, and it's being relegated by the regulated by the healthcare czars who are making decisions on people's lives by if they're going to have surgery or not. And it's all obviously based on how much they pay in taxes, because if a guy's elderly, and I believe over the age of 75, I had a couple of listeners tell me that, you know, they won't even do surgery on you over the age of 75 if you're on Social Security. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm getting that from third parties. But it only makes sense that if the IRS is the ultimate overseer of Obamacare as it stands now, then they're going to...
And
go ahead.
That and Chris's case, where the witch's court needed to use the medical establishment to incarcerate Chris. They couldn't get him on just the criminal charge. They had to use that medical tyranny, so it was even scarier than the witch's court, is the fact that they use that medical tyranny, and once they have you in the medical system. So anyway, my premise would be, any government involvement, hybridization between the government and the medical establishment, and the third player, the insurance companies, which are all controlled by the Vatican Bank and the Bank of England, the majority control. I've been looking into this, and it's obvious. The majority controlling interest in all the big insurance companies is the Vatican, and some holdings in the Bank of England. But they're unified together. The Church of England and the Church of Rome have been unified since this.
So let me ask you this, Eric. Because I know there was five votes short on the Republican side as far as initiating.
That's what it was. I didn't really pay attention to the details. I found it interesting that it went down, and it should. I mean, there should be absolutely no government. As soon as you involve the government and the medical establishment together, look out. You're talking really some. They're going to do some nasty things. Let me review this brief, quick little. Two, three sentences from the, this is the back cover of a book called The Plutonium Files by Eileen Welsom. And I'll just read you, this is like kind of just a synopsis on the back. It says, in a Massachusetts school, 73 disabled children were spoon-fed radioactive isotopes along with their morning oatmeal. In an upstate New York hospital, an 18-year-old woman, believing she was being treated for a pituitary disorder, was injected with plutonium by Manhattan Project doctors. At a Tennessee prenatal clinic, 829 pregnant women were served, quote, vitamin cocktails. In truth, the drinks contained radioactive iron as part of an experiment for their prenatal treatment. So, that's how insidious the medical establishment gets when it gets any power from the government.
Wow. Well, listen, thanks for stopping in, Eric. And folks, hopefully he can get a hold of Chris and bring him up tomorrow night. That should be an interesting story. If not, it'll be in the not too distant future. We got to go to a break. Thanks for calling in, Eric. And thank you for doing my show tomorrow night. All right, we'll be right back,
take
folks.
Take care, y'all. See you tomorrow. Thanks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you from the studios of Round Rock, Texas. Okay, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. If you want to jump in anytime during the rest of the show with a question or comment, feel free to do so. I'm going to shift gears now, folks, and on Republic Broadcasting's website, which I would encourage everybody to go in and read because you get part of the news from us and part of it from them. But in this case, I'm going to share a couple articles with you from there. The title of this one is The U.S. Supra-Gov Policy in Syria is Clear But Evil. And there's a big picture on the front here that says, this is why the Syrian refugees cannot simply go back to where they came from. And it's a nice picture of a completely bombed out street because the Syrians have no place to go. They've been bombed out. So the source is WHTT Charles E. Carlson. And according to the Financial Times of London, David Gardner writes, the United States has no coherent policy for Syria or the wider region. Well,
Chuck Carlson disagrees. We say U.S. war policy is obvious and transparent, but is hidden from us in the confusion created by respected media like Financial Times of London that allow us to be puzzled by the obvious. Why is U.S. policy deliberately widening the 26-year-old war in the Middle East? I quote the FinancialTimes.com, Syria, after 6 years of horrendous conflict on many fronts with multiple actors, is in a state of fragmented chaos and de facto partition. But a great deal of the confusion clouding any nature it may have emanated from the chaos of the White House. Well, Chuck Carlson interjects, U.S. warring practices in the field make it obvious that whoever our U.S. decision makers are, they are engineering the secret ongoing war against Syria and soon to be against Russia, if they are allowed their way. The pretense is that ISIS is our enemy. In fact, mystery-funded ISIS is the U.S. de facto ally in a secret war against the Syrian people and their recent allies, Russia and Iran. Now, we need to get this turned around in our minds so we can see what is being done to us Americans. In order to make any sense out of the Middle East war zone, we must comprehend, I don't use the word understand, Charles, we must comprehend our war policy is ruled, not by Donald Trump and the now nearly indivisible Congress, but by a banking superstructure above our political system that has its own agenda. The complete destruction of Syria is its current target. Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya are already victims. This much we know. WHTT.org calls this suprastructure for war the undetected or unelected supra-government. U.S. Gov and Donald Trump is its latest noisy tweeting puppet. Financial Times pretends to be confused when they tell us, and I quote, events at the weekend were ominous. On Sunday, an American jet fighter shot down a Syrian Air Force warplane. The Pentagon said it had been bombing too close to Syrian Kurdish fighters, whom the U.S.-led coalition against ISIS has deployed as the strike force to retake Raqqa. The incident follows three recent clashes in which the U.S. Air Force has bombed Iraq-backed Assad regime forces in south and east Syria. Those two were explained away as self-defense and force protection by the Americans. Financial Times goes on to confuse how Russia became part of our enemy. They say, Russia, whose intervention in late 2015 turned the tide in favor of Bashar al-Assad when he was at risk of being overwhelmed, is threatening to target U.S. warplanes, or rather, any aircraft, including the International Coalition's planes and drones discovered west of the River Euphrates. Yet it is the skies and battlefields of eastern Syria that are becoming as crowded and dangerous. Financial Times also confuses how long time war target Iran is being drawn into the U.S. government war plan. Iran, on Monday, fired a volley of six ballistic missiles into the general vicinity of the ISIS-held east Syrian city of Deir Ezzor. This was proclaimed as a reprisal for this month's twin attacks by ISIS in Tehran. It is being more widely interpreted as a message to the U.S. and its Sunni allies led by Saudi Arabia that Iran intends vigorously to assert its presence on Iraq's border with Syria. It is from here that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or the IRGC, and the militias it sponsors from the Hashad al-Shaabi coalition of Iraqi Shia paramilitaries to the Lebanese Hezbollah are carving out a land corridor to the Mediterranean. Now Financial Times gives us a dose of unelected supra-gov mind scrambler. Listen to this one. The U.S., in response, has insisted on a narrow coalition strategy to defeat ISIS in Iraq and Syria. The coalition does not seek to fight the Syrian regime, the Russian or pro-regime forces partnered with them. This statement was issued by U.S. Central Command headquartered in Qatar, which houses the biggest U.S. air base in the Middle East and a 10,000-strong American Forbes. Yet, lest anyone forget, Saudi Arabia and its allies are blockading their erstwhile ally, Qatar, egged on by Mr. Trump, who sees it, or at least tweets it, as part and parcel of fighting Islamic extremism and isolating Iran. Syria, after 6 years of horrendous conflict on many fronts with multiple actors, is in a state of fragmented chaos and de facto partition. But a great deal of the confusion clouding any future it may have emanates from the chaos of the White House. Among the complaints made against tiny but rich Qatar is that it operates a public news service called AlJazeera.com, which we have long noticed comes fairly close to telling the truth most of the time about wars in the Middle East and the power structure there. The Saudi coalition, which includes U.S. Gov, demands that Al Jazeera News shut down. Try reading it while you can. Financial Times ends its brainy story in mass confusion. It seemingly dares not tell the truth about who is responsible for our now 26-year-old war on the oil-rich Middle East. We Americans are supposed to remain confused and simply turn our backs on the ongoing wars because they are too far away to worry about. What we all need to understand, comprehend right now, is that wars are unofficial U.S. Gov policy coming down to the Congress and President from a level above. We hold these truths, ascribe the power primarily to those who control international mega banks and most central banks, including the privately owned Federal Reserve System. Public figures, including Fed Janet Yellen and President Donald Trump, are fronts for the unelected, faceless superpowers who benefit from war and will keep us and even bigger ones until we revolt. How can we best peacefully oppose the unelected supra-gov? We hold these truths as long held by that only the Christian churches with perhaps 100 million attending listeners and members have the grassroots organization for needed. Most have forgotten that Jesus called us to be peacemakers, but they have brought enough organizations to stand for peace and be heard. Why are they silent on war? That's an interesting. Why are they silent on war? Good question. Choose life, not war. Oh, my gosh. Where do we go from here? Well, let's close this out today with one more from RBN. You know, and I have to tell you, folks, I'll interject here, that I used to dig around like the caller that called in last night that gave, oh, geez, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 websites, 4winds.com, John Birch Society, Conspiracy World, BeforeIt'sNews.com, a lot of good sites out there. But time being valuable to me, I really don't have a lot of time to go, you know, sniffing around at all that stuff. And I have to give John credit. John reads every one of these articles he posts, and he's posting some really good ones of late. Matter of fact, since I came back on the air, I've been paying close attention to RBN's websites, and I invite you, if you haven't already, go in there and take a look on a daily basis, because I watch John, and I have for the last couple of days, reading these articles and posting them. So I'm going to close out with this one. How the CIA operated a drug-smuggling airline for heroin and the 9/11 connection. If you're familiar with the American war on drugs, then it may not surprise you to learn that the CIA represents one of the largest drug-dealing organizations in history. The CIA originally designed LSD with the help of a Swiss manufacturer as a mind-control drug as part of their MK Ultra program, hoping that it would allow patients under the influence to commit unspeakable acts commanded by the government and then forget they ever happened. Of course, this plan backfired, and then the CIA introduced LSD to the American population. The CIA has played a crucial role in producing, trafficking, and/or selling numerous drugs both in the United States and all over the world. The CIA is no stranger to money laundering, performing dangerous tests on unwilling patients, and even committing murder over drugs. One of the drugs the CIA has focused on for decades is heroin, which is created using opium. The CIA actually owned and operated a covert drug smuggling airline referred to as Air America, which was used to transport numerous goods, including heroin. The CIA's involvement with the opium industry doesn't just stop there. The CIA consciously turned a blind eye to the opium trade in Afghanistan in the late 1980s, until the Taliban took control and attempted to put an end to production. The opium industry in Afghanistan, which represented 90% of the world's opium production, then plummeted. 9/11 occurred only a year later, giving the U.S. a perfect reason to invade Afghanistan. Well, shortly afterwards, the United States seized the opium fields and took control of them. And then we witnessed opium production in Afghanistan skyrocketing again. It's clear that the United States government has an opium problem, one that's likely making them a lot of money in the process. So, what is Air America? No, I'm not referring to the hit 1990 movie starring Mel Gibson and Robert Downey Jr., though that movie arguably contained more fact than fiction. The movie was centered around the CIA's private airline, Air America, which was used during the Vietnam War to transport food, supplies, and other items, which just happened to include opium. Those parts of the movie were actually correct, and it seems that the CIA-operated airline was in fact used to smuggle drugs. In Southeast Asia, during the Vietnam War, the CIA worked alongside Laotian General Vang Pao in an effort to help make Laos the world's largest exporter of heroin. The CIA then flew drugs all over SEA, allowing the Golden Triangle, that being parts of Burma, Thailand, and Laos, to become the world hub for heroin. Agents from the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs managed to seize an Air America aircraft that contained large amounts of heroin, but the CIA ordered the agents to release the plane and halt any further investigation. The CIA wasn't just involved with the translation of, or transportation of the drugs, however. The heroin was refined in a laboratory built at the CIA headquarters in northern Laos. And after about a decade of U.S. military intervention, SEA represented 70% of the world's opium supplier. Unfortunately, many of the operatives became addicted to the heroin themselves. At the same time, SEA also became the main supplier of raw materials for the U.S. heroin industry. And though Air America apparently stopped operations in 1976, the CIA's involvement in the opium and heroin industries continued in other parts of the world. Though the CIA's website still denies that Air America was used to transport drugs, this is no longer a conspiracy theory. Mainstream media has even addressed this issue, as the History Channel just came out with a new series entitled America's War on Drugs, which so far has addressed fairly accurate information regarding the war on drugs, including Air America's role in transporting heroin, at least within the first two episodes that were released this week. And according to a New York Times article written in 1993, the CIA's involvement with the heroin industry began slightly before the Vietnam War. During the Korean War in 1950, the CIA allegedly traded weapons and heroin in exchange for intelligence. Well, it seems the CIA's heroin problem didn't start nor end in SEA. Now, the U.S. government's role in the Afghan heroin trade? Afghanistan is another country with a complicated history of involvement in the opium and heroin industries, much of which implicates the CIA. In the 1980s, CIA-supported Mujahideen rebels were heavily involved in drug trafficking heroin. The CIA supplied trucks and mules which were used to transport heroin. Despite the fact that Afghanistan supplied approximately 50% of the heroin used by Americans, the U.S. failed to intervene or investigate the Afghan drug industry for years, and instead, many of the individuals trafficking the drugs in Afghanistan were actually trained, armed, and funded by the CIA at the time. Opium production came to a gradual halt thanks to Taliban rule, and by 2000, the Taliban had completely banned opium production, practically eradicating 90% of the world's heroin, And the following UN diagram outlines the history of opium production in Afghanistan. And it shows in this diagram, folks, of the decline. And then after 9/11, it went back up. After 9/11 occurred and the U.S. invaded Afghanistan, opium production suddenly skyrocketed. There have been tons of photos of U.S. soldiers guarding the opium fields, and yet today, more than a decade later, they still have not destroyed them. Meanwhile, a propaganda campaign by the Bush administration promised to destroy all drugs and assured zero drug tolerance. As the American war on drugs contained throughout the Nixon, Reagan, and Clinton eras, the public had already witnessed multiple presidents promising to crack down on drug use, which turned out to be a great sham to mass incarcerate Americans, primarily blacks and hippies. While these presidents were promising to put an end to different drug epidemics, they were actually fueling them, as the CIA and other forms of law enforcement were heavily involved in drug trade. It's no secret that 9/11 was an inside job, otherwise referred to as a false flag terrorist attack. If you didn't know that, well, you can read multiple things on the internet and a fifth grader could figure it out. So this begs the question, given that Afghan opium production skyrocketed once the U.S. invaded the country, was opium one of the motives behind 9/11? It was Richard Nixon who originally started promoting the law and order mentality the elite are still pushing now. And Nixon was also the one who waged war on drugs in 1971. We'll be back with the final segment, and I'll finish this out, folks. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. Be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
folks. We're back with the final segment of The American Awakening. Was opium one of the motives behind 9/11? Disguised as a tactic to decrease drug usage, this was actually a strategy to incarcerate people by the masses, particularly black citizens. Between 1970 and 1980, the U.S. prison population increased from around 300,000 to 500,000. The irony was thick, as it was the CIA who was introducing some of these drugs onto the streets in the first place. The war on drugs continued for decades, and by 2000, the U.S. prison population had almost doubled, skyrocketing to over 2 million as a result of these new drug laws. As long as more drugs were on the streets, presidents were able to conduct these propaganda campaigns against drugs and reap the benefits. At the same time, corporations were making a killing off the privatization of the prison system, and so it was a win-win for the both of them. The elite were also apparently pleased, as it was a Rockefeller who proposed the 15 years to life rule in the first place. However, the Taliban then took over Afghanistan, decreasing the opium and heroin on the streets of America, except for what Big Pharma was still providing. The CIA is no stranger to drug trafficking, so it's possible they saw this as an opportunity to commit a false flag terrorist attack in order to justify the invasion of Afghanistan so they could take over the opium drug trade. The motive would make sense, as the American war on drugs was still an issue in 2001. The CIA already has ties to this area, as the CIA created, trained, and funded Al-Qaeda, Taliban during the Mujahideen. Ask yourself, if the U.S. government were actually against these organizations, then why are they still funding them? Al-Qaeda and the Al-Qaeda-affiliated organizations, including the Islamic State, are not independent organizations. They are sponsored, and they are sponsored by the United States and its allies. It is documented that prior to 2011, there was a process of recruitment of Mujahideen to fight in Syria, and this was coordinated by NATO and the Turkish High Command. This report is confirmed by Israeli news sources, and unequivocally, we are dealing with a state sponsorship of terrorism, the recruitment of mercenaries, and the training and the financing of terrorism. Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard was quoted as saying that the CIA has also been funneling weapons and money through Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar, and others who provide direct and indirect support to groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. This support has allowed Al-Qaeda and their fellow terrorist organizations to establish strongholds throughout Syria, including in Aleppo. Gabbard even proposed a bill recently titled Stop Arming Terrorists Act, which only received an alarming 13 supporters. It's certain that 9/11 was an inside job, but the entire truth behind the motive is still undetermined. The opium theory seems to be a strong possibility. But of course, the elite had their own agenda, and the U.S. government had other motives as well. The only thing that is considered to be a fact is that 9/11 was a controlled demolition, and that the war on drugs in America was a propaganda campaign. Who knows if the two are related, but it seems to me that this is a potential link. Thank you for tuning in tonight, folks. I think it was an eventful and informative show. And I want to ask everybody to dip into your pockets, if you will. Any extra bucks you might have, contribute to RBN at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or hit the PayPal button. And go to RBN.com, or RBN.org, excuse me, republicbroadcasting.org. I'm getting punchy now. Click the PayPal button and donate what you can, folks. We need your help. Thanks, good night, and stay tuned for Eric Jones tomorrow night. I'll be taking the night off. Good night.
I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. What it is you
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.